While I was in South Africa, the Lord gave me this scripture for the South African church. And so I shared this in several of the churches where I spoke. I probably spoke to about 10 churches in South Africa. And each time that I shared this message, the South African believers were charged, were stirred up, and really heard it as a word from God. So I thank the Lord for this message, which has a much wider application than that which spoke specifically to the South African situation. But I wanted to share with you what I shared with them and how it applies to us. Chapter 26, Genesis. And there was a famine in the land. You remember, for the last 3.5 to 4 years, all of Africa, 2/3 of it, have been under a severe famine, and about 4 countries have been totally blighted by it. Famine is not just a natural phenomena, it also has to do with education. You can live with famine conditions and survive if you know how to do it. It has to do with reservoirs and water preservation and location and plants, and there's just a lot of things. So it isn't just nature that conspires against a country, but there's a much wider curse that travels with famine. And so famine is an ugly thing. It becomes extremely ugly in the ancient world here, but it's also ugly in our own world today when nations are very underdeveloped. They cannot handle this thing of famine, and so you find the distended stomachs and so on. And the people of Mozambique look exactly like the people of Ethiopia or Mali or any place else where they're having an extreme famine. Beside the first famine, that was in the days of Abraham. So this was a very severe famine. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. So he's up in the land of what we would call today of Israel, but he's on the coast toward the Mediterranean in the land of the Philistines. And they were enemies of Israel, but often they got along from time to time. And so this is one of those times when Abraham's children could go over and could still deal with the Philistines. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, "Go not down into Egypt, but dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of." It's always good, you know, when to be in the center of God's will. That's the best place to be. And so Egypt was the obvious place to go. But you'll find when you follow the Lord that He doesn't operate in the obvious. He always does peculiar things. For example, Mozambique is one of the worst countries in the world, and that's why God said, "Go there." He didn't send us to Hawaii. We were praying about that, but He said, "I want you to go to Mozambique." We had a really neat beach ministry all worked out, but, you know. "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee." And that is the key to the children of God. Wherever God is, that's where we are. God wants to be with us, and He doesn't mean just to be our Savior or the man upstairs. He's talking about causing us to be prosperous wherever we go. Now, anyone can go into Mozambique and give a handout. But to cause those people to become productive, to actually go and say there's hope for this land in Jesus Christ, and to know that you can deliver the goods, that's what they need to hear. The Russians can't say that. The Russians are going to go there because there's turmoil and chaos, and they will continue the destabilization of that area. They will not be able to feed the people or develop the country, and the Mozambicans are smart. They know that. After dealing with them for years and after looking at the other countries that Russia has been in, I can say truthfully that never in the history of the world has Russia been able to develop any countries and cause them to flourish. And if you will study history carefully, you will see that all Protestant nations that really turn to the living God flourish. And there are no exceptions. Whereas all nations that have been under superstitious religion, legalistic religion, old-time religion of the legalistic nature, none of them are flourishing. They're all in famine or ignorance or poverty or disease. So there's a curse that goes on that which does not belong to God. And there's a curse over the land of Mozambique, over many lands, and we are going to go about removing the curse from those lands. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Because Jesus Christ removes curses. He takes away the bondage. And a curse, famine, pestilence, and sword, that's a spiritual matter. It's not an economic or political matter. It's a spiritual matter. It's not a natural phenomenon. It's a spiritual matter. When men get right with God, things change. Now, you know, America is not saintly. Amen. Certainly England is not saintly. Why does God bless South Africa, America, England, and other places like that? It's because we got lots of problems and lots of sins even. But it's because we honor the Word. And it's because God will honor those that honor His Word. So don't worry about America being weak or failing. The key is with the church. If we continue to look to God and believe and to hope, we will never be disappointed. Amen.
Amen.
Never. And so don't look back and wonder and worry about the economy and what's going to happen and so on. Don't worry about it. It'll be there as strong as it needs to be for us to get the job done. Because God is going to be with those that look to Him and believe in Him and have hope. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. Wherever God is, He's there to bless. He's not there to curse. Satan is there. Satan hates the world. Satan hates the world. He is out to destroy. He is out to kill. He is out to murder. He is out to rob. But God loves this world, and He came that we might have life and have it abundantly. And I have that abundant life, and I'm going to make sure before I die that I give it to lots and lots of others, because that's what Jesus said to do. So we've got plenty, and we'll have even more. How many know we're generators?
Amen.
You know, we're producers. The American people have turned lazy, unproductive. But I tell you, there's coming a time now, it is now, when the American people again will rise up, not to build a great America, we already have that, but we'll build an America that can stand behind the church that goes out to the third world, to those that are lost and dying and hopeless. And I believe that the whole purpose of the military is to protect us missionaries. Now, what's all that money for? The reason that we built all those airplanes and roads and mail services and everything is for us. You see, that's why Caesar built the roads, so that Paul could use them. And that's why he had that Praetorian guard, so Paul could stand there between those two guards and witness to him, so when they went to England, they could witness at government expense. I believe that all the wealth of this world is laid up for the just. I believe that Pharaoh saved up the gold in order to give it to Israel on the way out. I believe that Nehemiah had letters from the king saying, "The forests are mine. I want to build a house. Give me it. And the roads are mine. And this is mine and that's mine." He had letters from the king saying, "Whatever this man wants, give it to him, so he can do what he needs to do." I believe the church has a job to do, a commission to fulfill, and that it relates to the entire world. Here in America, we're sated. We're overindulged. We've got plenty. But the rest of the world starves. I know there are many people here that haven't taken advantage of it, but there's a problem there. And maybe the problem lies in the local churches. But sooner or later, we'll conquer that one too. It's no good to love an African if you can't love the black man that lives a block away. Amen? So God has plans for that. There's no point in working on one front. Let's work on about 100 fronts at once. Hello? In case any of you were bored, you know, didn't know what to do, we got plenty to do. Just come down and say, you know, "I'm willing and I'm able." And if you're poor, go back and go to work and then come back. Hello? You know, why is it that all the poor are available? You know, God is efficient. And God knows that we are to be a productive people. If you meet the Lord Jesus Christ and you begin to seek Him, you're going to become an industrious, productive person. You know, somebody said, "Well, I couldn't help it. You know, the government's done this and the unions are that and it's hard to find a job." Baloney. Hello. That was out of the third chapter of Luke. Baloney. Look, when you're a Christian, God will find a way. Just say, "Lord, I'm ready. I'm going to do it. And even if you don't tell me, I'm just going to go out and get a job." You see what I mean? Don't wait for God. "Oh, I've been waiting here for 3 months. You know. You take the first step. You believe, you pray, you get right with God. Take the first step and God will meet you. How many know He can meet you where you are? Don't lay back and feel sorry for yourself and say, "Oh, the economy's rough and tough," and so on. There's always a way. God always has a way. That's the fun of being a Christian. Getting into tight spots and calling out to God and see if He can't deliver. If you do your part, God will do more than His part. He will give more than you ask or even can imagine. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed. Boy, that's a good promise. Goes to the third and fourth generation. I will give all these countries. Isn't that amazing? I will give all these countries. The countries of the world exist for us. Who is it that are the real kings and priests of this world? We are. So get ready. Have you ever picked up a scepter? Have you ever made a decree? I, King Jim, decree this day. No, don't you do that? I, Queen Alice, decree this day. You know, don't you do that? You know, you conquer sickness in the name of Jesus. That's how you do it. You have to learn how to sit on a throne and rule, because we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen? Look, we're the only people on the earth that have real optimism. We're the only people that have real confidence. We're the only people that are not afraid of anything. I'm not talking about religious people. I'm talking about Christians that are born again, Spirit-filled, and alive, able to do all that God said will be done. We believe it all. Hello? It's the same old story. It's just that God is beginning to act now as we said He would act. You know, God likes us to declare things before they happen so that people have faith. Then when He begins to act, everybody says, oh, I knew David, I knew you were going to kill Goliath. We'll help you carry his sword. We'll help you carry his head. You know, where were all those helpers before David killed him? They're up there quivering and shaking, you know. They didn't have any faith at all. They were just watching the entertainment, you know. Watch that kid get bumped off, you know. But I tell you, when God goes forth, He always declares what He's going to do before He does it. That proves it's God. So what we told you we'd do, we do. And we said we were going to do a lot more. We said that we wouldn't quit till we took the whole world. Do you believe that? Of course you don't. I know you don't. I don't care what you say. But that's all right. There is a God, and He's a living God. And He has given us favor, and He will continue to give us favor, and we will link up and tie up with every born-again, Spirit-filled believer throughout the earth. And if there aren't any, we'll make them. Yeah. I just want you to get excited. I just want to tell you that governments are nothing. The world economy is nothing. It's all for us. It's just there in case you need it. That's what the ambassador said when I went into Peter John DeVos. You know, I said, I want to have an interview with you, and I'd like to tape you. And, you know, when I came in, he just said, this is your embassy. I said, thank you. I need it. I need an embassy. It's good to know that the American government is here protecting me so I can get my job done. He said, that's what we're here for. And he gave us a tremendous, I hope you get to see a lot of it on video. We're going to make a special. We're making it this week to show you, let's say, a small version of what we had. We took so many tapes, we couldn't show it to you all. But Peter was great, and we're going to use him over and over again because he is there in order to allow us to do what we need to do. And he said, you know, look, tell me what I can do. I will do it for you. He said, you know, whatever you, I've heard what you guys have in mind. That's what we need. You're working within the context of American interests, and the things you're doing is exactly what needs to be done. Governments have their limitations, but it's people like Hope for Africa and what you're doing here that's what we need. So he said, you know, what Chester Crocker can do in the State Department is limited. They can give some money and so on and so forth, but you could help us to target and to aim what we're doing so that it's really effective. And that's exactly what we intend to do. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. You know, God does not just answer our prayers, praise God, but He answers the prayers that Jesus prayed 2,000 years ago in the Garden of Gethsemane. He answers the prayers that were prayed years and years back. They accumulate. They're like incense, the Bible says, that is before the throne of God and goes up into His nostrils, and He smells them and says, this is good. And so when we pray to God, we cause God to act. We kind of fill up the house with prayer. Now, right now, God doesn't have so many prayers, and that's why He's limited in working. The house has just got a little smoke over here and a little smoke over here. He's waiting people to passionately pray and seek Him and say, God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me and do all you said you were going to do. He doesn't want people to go and say, please, God, do this. And then when He doesn't do it, say, well, I guess He isn't going to do it. He wants people to keep knocking. Keep asking, keep seeking until God delivers everything He promised He'd do. Don't ever give up with God. He's waiting to see how serious you are, whether you're going to press in, whether you're going to see if God will do it all. And He will. Hello. Don't ever quit with God. Don't ever give up. Keep pressing. God likes that. He likes to see His children confident. He likes to see them believe. And when He says no, He never means no. When He says no, He doesn't mean no. Even if He means no, wait till He says it about 10 times. Then you know He means it, you know? But keep pressing. Say, I know you said no, but I think you're going to say yes. God likes that. God likes us to press in, never to quit, never to give up. I love the impossible. All kinds of things are wrong. I like it. Because it gives God something to do. You know, otherwise He's unemployed, you know? I like to keep God busy. So I keep reminding Him of impossible things. And if I run out, I try to get some more. Hello? Hello? Do you like the impossible? You like problems, troubles, things to go wrong? Don't you count it all joy when you face various troubles, trials, temptations? Amen. Woo! We gobble them up, don't we? We're the only people on the earth that can handle problems. Jesus said, in the world you have trouble. He didn't say it would go away. He didn't say you could pray it away. He says, you know, keep praying, get rid of one, then I'll give you another one, and give you another one. You know, we just go from trouble to trouble, but always in victory, because He always leads us in triumph. Troubles are nothing. They're just an occasion for God to get glory. That's all. Troubles are just an occasion. So I don't want it to be nice. I want it to be just like it is. And God will get all the glory. You know, it's good to have troubles, because then the devil gets his chance, you know? Let's see what the Russians can do with Cuba. Let's see what they can do with Ecuador. Let's see what they can do with, you know, Salvador. Let's see what they can do. Nothing. All they can do is create more chaos. Now I'm talking about the communists. All they can do is create chaos. Let's see what Jesus can do. You know, He said to Moses, He said, now you have seen what man can do. Now stand back and see what God can do. So God has to give them kind of a leeway, you know, give them a lot of rope. Let them do their thing. Give them a chance to operate, you know. Hello. Don't you like problems? That's what we're here for. We're here to turn the hopeless into hope, the joyless into joy, that which is crooked into that which is straight, that which is broken into that which is made whole, that which is sick into that which is made well. That's what we're here for. That's the power of God, to take an unproductive land and to cause it to become a garden, a flourishing garden. Can we do it? We can do it. You show us the situation. I don't care if people are homosexual, we get them free. I don't care if there's poverty, we'll turn it around. Right here in this city, anywhere. That's the gospel, that Jesus Christ makes a difference in this world, a practical difference. In your life, if you've got problems, rejoice. How many here have a problem or two? That's great. Praise God. The more the better. Invite some more people in. We don't have enough problems yet. We need lots of problems. We want all the problems the world's got, because Jesus is the answer. There's nothing He can't do. I know you don't believe it, but yeah, it's good to say it, you know? Keeps things going. I'm serious. There's nothing God can't do. You know, there's a lot of inconsistencies and, you know, things people say, if you're such a hot Christian, how come this and that? Well, just hang on. I like those inconsistencies. They catch people. You know, people go, yeah, 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 yeah. You know? You're not a Christian. Look at this. That's all right. I am a Christian. And things will go well. Just wait. God isn't done yet. He's wanting to catch a lot of those mockers. Hello? He's trying to catch the devil. The devil says, aha! See? They can't do anything. You see those bold Christians that stood out and said, God will do thus and so? What's He done? But I tell you, God will come through. God will act. And on the day that He acts, be prepared. Be ready. This is the day God is acting. God is doing all that He said He would do and more. He always has a few surprises left over. Amen? Amen? And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now the children of Abraham, that's us. That's us. We aren't Jews. We don't have, you know, black horn-rimmed glasses. Hello. But we are the children of Abraham. We are the true Jews. Why? Because we're believers. And the father of faith is Abraham. And those that are his children are not those that are his children by blood, Paul says, and God says, but are those that are children by faith. So we're the children of Abraham. So whatever you read in here, it applies to us. I know there's a lot of people that believe everything's going to go for natural Israel and all that. Well, I don't. Ha ha. So there. I believe that these things apply to natural Israel, but I also believe they apply to the church primarily. God won't forget what he said to natural Israel. It's okay. But that's not the big deal. I'm not going to watch Israel and say that's the time schedule. The time schedule is us. Hello. I know I'm blowing a lot of people's theology, but that's all right. Israel's not the thing to watch. One Jew isn't worth 15 Gentiles. Hello. God loves us all. Hello. He's going to use those that belong to him. Sure, he's going to keep his promises to Israel, but that's not the biggest deal going on right now. I'm not an Israel watcher. Hello. Hello. Oh, fiddle. Come on. You know, I know a lot of you believe that that's, you know, so on and so forth, but you haven't read the New Testament. Oh, well, praise God. God. Because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife. He said, she's my sister, for he feared to say she's my wife, lest, he said, he, the men of the place, should kill me for Rebekah, because she's fair to look upon. Very natural. It came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked out a window and he saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife, probably tennis or something. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. And how saidest thou, she's my sister? And Isaac said, well, because I said to myself, lest I die for her. You're going to kill me if you knew it. And Abimelech said, what is this that thou hast done unto us? What other people might lightly have been with your wife, and thou shouldest brought forth guiltiness upon us? And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in the land. Now that's interesting. He's not in his own land. He's in a foreign land. He is a stranger. He's a pilgrim. And Isaac, then, the son of Abraham, Isaac is sowing in a foreign land. And he received in the same year in a foreign land an hundredfold. That's interesting. And the Lord blessed him. You know, wherever the children of God are, remember we're pilgrims and strangers on this earth, wherever we are, God will bless us. God will bless us and cause us to go forth and reap a hundredfold. It's not because we got better seed. You know? Some kind of special Christian seeds or something. There's nothing unique about us. It's our faith in God. It isn't because they had, you know, increased knowledge, you know, some kind of special technical knowledge. Mrs. Michelle, the president's wife, thought maybe that's going to do it. You know, in the third world, they're thinking they need aid to survive and then knowledge to keep going. If only they could get those two things, then economically they'd be all right. They could develop themselves. Well, I have a secret for them. There's something else that goes on. The secret of George Washington Carver was not all the stuff he found in the peanut. It was the God he found up in heaven, who was the Lord of the peanut. Everything that he discovered about the peanut came from hard work, but it mostly came from prayer. He sought God. Even Edison, that cold, certainly not a Bible-believing, spirit-filled believer, he also said, you know, there couldn't be a problem on earth that God hasn't got a solution for us, so I'm going to just keep hunting until I find it. That was the secret to Edison. He believed God has a solution to every problem. That's why he worked tirelessly, because he believed in God, even though he wasn't born again. Hello? There is a God. And you know, I believe those Marxists were sharp enough to realize there was something more with our delegation than just food and education and some other things that we're going to give them. They realized there's something, another factor here, the God factor. There's something here that these people have. It looks like love and friendship and so on, but there's something else here. Because you see, when Jesus preached, he didn't just save souls, but he healed bodies. He performed wonders and miracles, and he had the joy of the Lord. You know, there was nothing he couldn't do wherever he was. Whatever was needed, he did it, didn't he? And that was impressive to the people because it applied to them. It was almost as if God was not a judge. It was almost as if God loved them and wanted to bless them Because whatever they needed, they had no qualification for, Jesus just gave it. Somebody was sick, he just said, you know, you don't have to be a Christian and belong to St. John's in the corner, just be healed. All you got to do is want it. You don't have to qualify. God's gifts are free. Hello? You know, God just, he loves to give away free gifts. I didn't say, now if you guys, now look, we're going to give you this bag of seed, then we're going to preach one sermon, and if we save you, we'll give you another bag of seed, and then if we get some more, you know, there's no bargains. They just say, we want to give you all this seed because we love you. Jesus loves you. Well, they like that message. They didn't care about the Jesus part, they just wanted the seed. But they heard the Jesus part. And it won't be long before they realize the difference between the Russians and us. Hello? We got it. We got what the world needs. And it's not seed. But we got that too. Because when you seek first the kingdom of God, everything else is yours as well. Everything else. Are you ready to conquer? Are you ready to rule and reign? Or do you just want to be saved? Oh, if I could just be a doorkeeper in the house of God. If I just barely squeak in, boy, that'll be great. I just want to crawl along, creep along down here in the dirt. I just hope I make it by the mercy of God. That's not Christianity. That's baloney. That's Luke 3. Hey, God called us to... You know, Jesus didn't go around, you know, groveling in the dirt. That guy was happy. He was attractive. He was powerful. He said, stretch forth your hand, and they stretched it forth. You know, he accomplished things. He was practical. He was real. He made a difference in the world in which he lived, didn't he? And we are Christians, little Christs, Christianos, little Christs. We're to do the same thing. He said, what I've done, I want you to do better things. I was just kind of horsing around. I want you guys to really do it. Walking on water, all that, that was kind of small potatoes. I want you Christians to really go out there and conquer the world. And I'm with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. That was just the beginning. That was just the first fruits. When you guys go out, it's really going to be big. How many know he saved the best wine until the last? Amen. We haven't even begun. This is just, we're just getting excited. God's about to do great and glorious things. It's all in the Word. 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 You believe the Word is in there. I'm just telling you what the Word says. I don't care what you've experienced. It's what the Word says. Experience will catch up with the Word sooner or later. If he said, we got nations, we got nations. How do I know if it's Mozambique or Ecuador or Barbados? I don't know, but I know we got nations, so I'm just going to go and get them. Hello. That's faith. How many are going with me? We want to see 1 million young people go out to the third world every summer. You think that could happen? You know, they can witness, they can hand out Bibles, they can, you know, do athletics, they can build churches, they can do a few things. Every summer, instead of, you know, having a vacation and earning a few dollars, you know, let them go. We'll take them, we'll fly them, we'll buy our own airplanes. You know, fly them everywhere. Hello? Come on, let's go into business. What can a little church do? It's not up to us, it's God. And it came to pass. Came to pass. You know, whenever the Bible says that, that means something exciting is going along. And Abimelech said, what's this you've done to us? One of the people might have done something wrong. Abimelech charged all his people, saying, don't touch this man. Then Isaac sowed in the land, received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man waxed great, and went forward. And he grew until he became very great. Isn't that exciting? He was great, and he went forward, and he grew until he became very great. That's a parable. That's telling us that America is great, but it's not yet very great. We're going to go forward now. Instead of being unproductive, we're going to begin to see that the whole purpose of America was to be a basis for the church to conquer the world. We don't believe in economic or commercial imperialism. We don't believe that the purpose of America was to conquer the world politically or militarily. We believe that this nation exists so that the church would be free to develop itself and then to conquer the world. Now, I'm not talking about some kind of Christian nation thing. I'm talking about the church making the church. That's our job. I don't want Mozambique to become a church. I just want the remnant that's there, including some of the heads of state, because I think we need them. So let's get some of the tribal chiefs. And I believe that Samora Michelle is going to turn to the Lord because we're praying for him. Every day, little Margaret, you know, she's 3 years old. Every day at the table, she prays for Beek. That's Mozambique. And she prays for Samora Michelle and Mrs. Michelle and the little Michelles. Her prayers are really interesting. They're incredible. But, you know, you can't stop prayer. Man, when I go there and meet that guy, he's going to fall on his face. He's going to say, God's already spoken to me. I know you're come from God. I'm ready to receive. How many believe that can happen? After all, we bribed all his compatriots. You know, they like us. God's good. For he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, and a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. That's the way it is, isn't it? When you have a lot, people envy you. A lot of Christians feel guilty about having a lot. Don't. Hey, it's fun to have a lot. Hello. It's not spiritual to have nothing. On the other hand, it's not spiritual to have everything either. Doesn't matter what you have, you got everything. If you're a Christian, you got it all. How you have the material thing doesn't make any difference. Give it all away. And you got nothing, you still have everything. Whatever you need, you've got. That's prosperity. You've got enough to do whatever you need to get the job done. That's prosperity. That's prosperity. Prosperity is all you have to do is have enough to get whatever job you need to get done, done. That's it. And I've got it. You've got it. If you're a Christian, you've got it. Whatever it is, don't ever complain or moan or groan and say, oh, I wish. If only this. I hope that. No, you've got it. Just take it. Get up and go. What are you waiting for? Go forward. And you'll become very great. For all the wells which his father, the servants, had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines, had stopped them and filled them with earth. So the Philistines had covered up the good things that God had started. I think that's a parable of the church. The church has dug a lot of wells in a lot of lands, and the Philistines have come and filled them up with dirt. Hello? You see that parable? Okay. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. You're being too blessed. We can't handle you. You know, the people in Europe don't like Americans. Did you know that? They don't like us because we're too free. You know, we were there in the hotel. There were Russians, North Koreans, Chinese, Yugoslavians, Czechoslovakians, you know. They were all there. There wasn't one other guy like us, you know. They were all what you call socialists or communists or Leninists or Marxists or something. And they were grim. And every time we got on the elevator, you know, I would say to the North Korean, oh, kumsahamnida. You know, a big smile on my face. The guy would look, you know, and he'd go, oh, he speaks my language, you know, and he'd say, ah, da 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 da, you know. And I'd say, you know, I'm just a Texan, an American. His face would drop. Then I'd look at the little pin on it. He all had to wear these little pins, you know, of his leader. And I'd say, oh, Kim Sung, you know. That's my Korean way of saying Kim Sung. And so he'd go, wow, you know. And we were just friendly. Those people were so morbid. They were there on assignment. They didn't care about the Mozambicans. They didn't have any fun. They didn't have any life. We'd be sitting at the table, you know, the Russians would be next to us. We'd be laughing and having a good time, having fun.
Ivan would be sitting over there, you know, with his wife Babushka on the other side.
They weren't having any fun. If we'd have had Bibles, we would have evangelized all those people. So next time we go back, we're going to take Bibles with us. Get those morbid people smiling. Hey, God loves Russians too. And Yugoslavs and Czechoslovaks. You know, he doesn't care if you're Marxist or Leninist or what. They don't got it. We got it, right? We've got it. God is with us. They envied him. They envied him. And Isaac departed thence, and he pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. In other words, you know, Christianity isn't anything new. We haven't got anything new. This is just the old story of Jesus and his love. All we got to say is Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's the good news. That'll save people. That'll get people delivered, healed, set free, right? There's nothing more. You say, I don't know the gospel. That's all there is. You know as much as I know. Just say, Jesus died. He was buried and he rose again. You ready to be saved? And they'll say yes. You know, it's exciting. You know, all we did, we just hugged a little baby, and one of the government officials started crying and said, why do white people love black people? How come you can love these little children that are diseased and sick? And he said, and we said, Jesus. And he said, I want Jesus. That was simple. That was simple. He said, it was Jesus. He said, I want Jesus. He didn't even tell him about Jesus. He didn't even tell him all the story of Moses and Abraham. He just said, I want Jesus. He saw the love. He saw it was concrete. He said, that's real. I don't have that. I want that. I want what you've got. You've got it. He saw it. He was envious. He said, I want to have that. I don't have it. Isaac digged again. Isaac's servants digged in the valley. They found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water's ours." And so he called the name of the well Ezek, because they strove with him. That means striving. So they digged another well. That's one thing about God's people. Look, when you prosper and everything goes well and the devil comes along and takes it from you, hey, no big deal. Let him have it, go dig another well. We're going to win. The thing about the children of God is they're persistent. They just keep going. You can't get them to quit. Man, the devil could take everything and still have nothing. I've got a God that never run out. I don't believe in all that stuff of depletions. Not. I don't believe that. There's plenty here. For all we need to do, it's here. God didn't make any mistakes. Hello? Amen. There's plenty. I'd say our God is a multiplier. In fact, if there weren't any oil, he'd invent it. Amen. You know, he can just create stuff. I like God. So they digged another well, and they strove for that one also. Look at that. The devil is not original, but he's persistent. You know? He never comes up with anything new. They dig a well, it throws dirt in it. Dig another well, you know, they strive with him. Dig another well, they strive with him. You know, same thing. So it's easy to beat the devil because he always does the same dumb thing. You know, after two or three times, you catch on. He's going to strive with me. You know? You begin to catch on. So you can outsmart him. How do you know that Christians are to be wise as serpents? The devil's a serpent. We're to be wise as the devil, but innocent as dove. That's the thing. You know, when we come to Mozambique, they don't care about Jesus. They didn't come and say, "Would you preach?" The reason that they let us in is because we're giving them food. Just plain old flat, that's it. But with the food comes Jesus. Because we said, "We want to give you food and distribute Bibles." And they knew if they said no to the Bibles, it'd be no to the food. You see what I mean? You got to be wise as a serpent and say, "We want you to have food and Bibles." Ooh, they wish you hadn't said it that way, you know? But we linked them up together. Tied them tight. And so they know they can't say, "Well, we don't want the Bibles, but you can bring the food." That's the end of it, because they know we're Christians. So they want the food, so they don't care about the Bibles. You have to be smart. And he removed from thence and digged another well. Third well now. For that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, "For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Now that's interesting. The first well, striving. The second well, enmity. The third well, Rehoboth, because it means making room for. Now you see, if we keep going, eventually the world will make room for us. You see? Let them strive and hate us and get mad. It's the same thing as the gospel. We hated God. He blessed us, gave us a paradise. We hated him, blew it, and a curse came upon us. Jesus came down, and instead of punishing us, he blessed us. We killed him. And you know what happened? We recognized, even the soldier at the cross said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." This guy was innocent. Even outsiders recognized that. There's something, they could see the favor of God was upon him, even before he resurrected. And then after he resurrected, everybody knew, this is something different. God's with this man. We better pay attention. And all those that did became born again. All those that did became part of the Christian church, of which we are a part. So you see, we were at enmity and striving with God, but yet we got smart. We repented. We got wise. We saw that God's with that guy, Jesus. That's why he rose up again. You can't stop him. He digs one well, striving, digs another well, enmity, digs another well, resurrection. We finally say, you know, you can't beat him, join him. This guy, Jesus, is not mad at us. He keeps loving us. You see, Isaac didn't get the Philistines. He didn't sit there with a machine gun and wipe them out, you know, as they came around his well. He just dug another one. It's okay, take that one. I'll dig another well. Because God's with me. And everywhere he went, he prospered. In other words, you can't stop a godly man. We'll prosper anywhere. We were removed from the Lutheran church. They took everything. They got the building, the land, the pianos, the typewriters, you know, the whole thing. We had nothing. And, you know, we didn't know where to go. But God provided, within one day, he provided a church with pews and pianos, even had a grand piano kind of a thing and everything. Why did he do that? Why did God provide? God has already brought into our church, in the few years we've been in existence, over $500,000. I never had that when we were Lutherans. Keep digging wells. God keeps filling up with water. Even if they fill them up, we'll go dig another one. Burn the building down, we'll get another one. How many know you can't stop a man of God? You can't stop a woman of God. And he went up from thence, he was already accepted, to Beersheba. Now, Beer means well, and Sheba means oath. So this is the well of the oath. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Always for the ancestor's sake. That's why we're blessed, for Jesus' sake. And he builded an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, pitched his tent there, and there, at that place, Isaac's servants digged a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Hazuthat and some of his friends, Philcol, the chief army, chaplain of the army. Isaac said unto him, wherefore come ye to me, seeing you hate me, and you've sent me away from you? And they said, listen to this, we saw with our eyes, that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant, berit, with thee, that thou wouldst do us no harm, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Of course, that's not the way Isaac saw it. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. Never hold anything against people. Sometimes people will say to you, I hate you, and so on and so forth. People say that to me a lot. Yeah, I just don't take it. I don't take it seriously. Tomorrow they might change their mind. That's what these people did. When someone says something ugly to me, I don't take it. I always believe they don't know what they're talking about. Don't they recognize who I am? You know? When they say, I hate you. When I came back, I had a couple people say that. Hey, that's great. Praise God. I don't believe it. I don't believe I did anything wrong, I mean, maybe I did, but I don't care. God likes me. You see? So I don't take negative comments from people. I don't believe it. I believe that person will change in 5 minutes. And even if they don't, well, so what? You see what I'm saying? But I'm open any second for anybody to change their mind. Even people that say they love me, they might say they hate me in the next minute. I'm open for that. I'm not going to build on any man. You see? Because people will let you down. Has anyone here learned that? I mean, people. Elephants, they're okay. People, no good. Don't ever trust a people. Frogs, okay. People, problem. Jesus Christ is the only one you can depend upon. And he never lets you down. Hello. And he even gets people who are letter downers to lift you up. That's kind of funny. People that are not trustworthy, he gets them to bless you. That's wonderful. That's God. That's a miracle. So here, even the enemies of Isaac came and they began to bless him. Out of their mouth, they used to be striving in enmity. Now out of their mouth, not only do they make room for him, but they actually begin to bless him and say, we want to make a covenant with you. Now here's what's going to happen in South Africa. I believe all the black nations in Africa today hate this white South Africans. Now that's good. That's a trouble. That's wonderful. Because God's going to exploit that. You see? Now, like Tom McRae, he was in South Africa, and then he went to fly to Nigeria, and they wouldn't let him in because he'd been to South Africa. Those are the bad guys, you see? And so the Nigerians don't like the South Africans. Why? Because they're racist. They hate black guys. So you know what? The black guys hate them. What do you think of that? You get it? You hate me, I hate you. That's fair. So if I was God, I'd never use white South Africa to bless black South Africa, but I think that's what God's got in mind. And the blacks will even come to white South Africa and say, we want to make a covenant with you. You believe that? No. But that's the way it's going to be. Why? Because they were placed there by God years ago to be fruitful because they're children of Abraham. I know they got some stupid policies. So what? God can correct that. Not America. You can't go over there and moralize on them. Hey, let God take care of those guys. He can get them. Amen. We didn't find one South African. Of course, they're there. We just didn't find them. We didn't find one South African who said, apartheid is good. We didn't find anybody saying, this is a great system. We didn't find anybody defending it. We found them saying, hey, we got problems. Just don't come over here and kick us. We got problems. We don't know how to solve them. And all the government officials said, apartheid is over. It's no good. We realize that. We made a mistake. It's on television. I got it on television. We made a mistake. Well, okay. Hey, I don't care what the mistakes are. Because they trust in God, not because they got sins in their lives, but because they trust in God, God is going to use them to bless the rest of Black Africa. Now, today, in Mozambique, they don't like the white South Africans, even though they just made a treaty with them, an agreement, a covenant. They've dug a well together. Even so, we're white, we went in there, and no problem. But I believe that God is going to build a bridge between all of Black Africa and white South Africa, because she's got the food, she's got the wherewithal, she can bless the whole continent. Not Africa, not Russia. Russia can't help out. Not Libya. Good grief. By the way, all the Libyans were there too. And they can speak English, so I was had a good time witnessing to them. You know? They told me if I came to Libya, they would give me a free house, a big spread of land, a tractor, a car, everything I want for nothing. Just to come there. I said, that's silly, I don't want it. I don't want that. I don't want to live in your desert. Now, it's a beautiful country. Actually, Americans are treated beautifully there. The only thing they wouldn't let me do is preach Jesus. I said, that's all that counts. Who wants your other junk? See what I'm saying? We'll wipe them out too. Sooner or later, we'll take Libya. How many believe that? Don't you know what you're for? Look, that's what we're all about. We're world conquerors. We have to go over there and love those people. To death. If necessary. And to life. Death and resurrection. We can do it. You know, it isn't hard. Some people say, you can't witness to a Muslim. Oh, yes, you can. All you got to do is have the goods. Reinhard Bunker, one of the guys that's over there, the biggest guy probably in South Africa, has the biggest tent in the world. He brought, I think, 6,000 Muslims to the Lord in 1 minute. Just by some miracles that they saw. You know, they just saw it and they knew, that's God. And they just bought it like that. They renounced their Muslim heritage, turned over just like that. How many know God is like that? Hey, he can touch a nation. Russia could turn tonight. All we got to do is believe. That's the start. Then pray. And then act boldly. And then God will meet us and give us favor. Believe, pray, act, and you'll have the favor of God. What is the favor of God? It's the presence of God with you to bless you and to cause you to be powerful. Because the gospel that we preach must go forth in power and in demonstration, wrapped in love, compassionate deeds of kindness, of true and genuine reaching out to these peoples. They have no defense. Then the truth that we preach will set the nations free. You see, these four wells are a parable of the fact that there's enmity and strife in the world today. Yet the very place where there's enmity and strife, God is going to bring forth and make room for the children of God. The Mozambicans 2 years ago, 1.5 years ago, 6 months ago, did not have any dealings with America. We called them socialists and said, we don't want to help them. We don't want to have any dealings with them. But just recently, they got an ambassador over here. Schultz changed his mind and began to give them a little aid. Because we found out those guys made a covenant with South Africa in the direction of peace. Now, all they're after is a cessation of the hostilities in their country so they can live, so they can survive, because they're under famine, they're under war, they're bankrupt. They've got every problem in the world against them. So they're getting smart. How many know God set that up? Now, they think they're going to get help from South Africa and from America. They think that's what they want. Is economic help, that is expertise, education, all that kind of stuff to build up their people. But because God's sneaky, God sent us there, you know, they thought we were America. They didn't know the difference between, you know, just some ordinary Christians that came over there and America. They thought we were America. You know, they hadn't seen too many of us guys before. And so they thought, you are America, you know? And we didn't tell them we weren't, you know? Hello. You know, we just said, we will do this and we will do that. You know, we're from Texas and we do things big and we'll do it. You know? And they believed us. That's crazy. But we meant it. We were sincere. And they said, because you're a Christian organization, we know you will keep your word. And they said, in other words, secretly they were saying things, I don't know if they intended to say them or not. They said, you are the Americans we want to deal with. So we were made much bigger than we were supposed to be. And if I were those guys, I would have just stuck us in a hotel room and had a little meeting or two with us and thank you for your food and goodbye. But they didn't. They, you know, when we arrived in the airport, you know, there were six black fellows standing in line, two white faces there, one was the ambassador. When we came down, I thought, boy, wouldn't it be great if these guys weren't for all these businessmen that are on the plane, but for us. And they were. All those businessmen, you know, walked to the terminal without an escort. We walked, you know. You know, they didn't know we were from Fort Worth, you know. Just a bunch of, you know, nobodies. They didn't know that. So we walked into a special room, no customs. We didn't have to go through anything. They took care of the baggage. Got outside, six limousines met us. Each one got in a limousine, you know. It was great. When we got to the hotel, $120 a day for a room. They paid for everything. I told them we'd pay for it. They said, no, because after 5 days of being with you people, we know that we have a friend. We feel now we are not alone in this world. We feel we have some friends in America. You are our guests. Everywhere we went, we had limousines waiting for us all the time. And this country has nothing. When they gave us a gift at the end, the Secretary of State said, you know, I wish we had something to give you. I apologize, but this is all we've got. Take it in love. You know, we didn't care what it was. It could have been just newspaper. You know, it's great. But they didn't have anything. They don't have anything in that country. So they gave from their heart. Chris, isn't that right? It's beautiful. Everywhere we went. We were treated like kings because the favor of God is with us. Why? It's not because of us. It isn't because of our piety. It isn't because we prayed a lot. We were too tired to pray. We were exhausted. You know? You know what I mean? I had visions, you know, of staying up all night and, you know, doing all this. But praise God, people back here were praying. I prayed. But I'm just trying to, it wasn't like I pictured it was going to be. That I'd have a lot. They had us going from one minister to another. We had 5 days, and morning, noon, and night, they had us going to, you know, the Minister of Agriculture, the Minister of Justice, the Minister of Defense, you know. Yeah, we had to go to meet all these guys, you know. You had to keep, you know, dressing up, looking your best and all that. And pretty soon at the end, you know, we're kind of, you know, the guy started wearing no ties and everything. He said, do you think they'll mind, you know? I said, nah, you're from Texas, no problem. So I wore a suit. You know, I kept the image up. Ah, praise God for a pastor, huh? God's out to have fun. You know, this world is grim, it's dark. You know, the bad guys are winning, they got it. Hey, it doesn't have to make any difference. Don't even look at those guys. We got it. That's the fun of it, is to know that the devil's got everything going his way and he can't do a thing. He's got the plug in his hand. He's just about to plug the thing in, you know, and something won't let him. And we just come in, you know, talking about Jesus, and God is making a way for his children. Now, I tell you, I believe in hard times. I believe in problems and troubles. But I also believe that God always leads us in triumph wherever we go, and that we never need to be afraid, never need to lose our joy, and never need to think, oh, goodness, I wish this thing would change. No. Let's take advantage of everything. Prison, darkness, anything. There's nothing too big for us. Even death. Hey, we believe in resurrection. Is anything too hard for our God? You read that in the Bible. That's why you're saying that. You know? That's good. It's good to start with your mouth. Commit yourself with your mouth long before you're ready to commit. It's good. Step right out and say boldly, nothing's too hard for God. Pretty soon, he'll bring you into a situation where you'll be able to follow what you just said with your mouth. And that's exciting. Amen. Because, you know, you can't do it. But God has already done it. That's your faith. And now you're just going to walk it out and see it. Isn't it going to be fun to watch all this? To watch the world come into the kingdom of God when it's the darkest. I tell you, the darker it gets, the more excited I become. The more grim the situation, the more hope I've got. You see, Jesus only came in history at the darkest hour because he knew then he'd get the greatest glory for God. That's why he came. Rome was about to swallow the whole world. Now we've thrown her off for 2,000 years because the church got in there and messed her up. Now she's ready again, a new kind of Rome, kind of the old thing cooked up again. You know, she's just about to strangle the world again through its, you know, machinations, secret societies, and all that kind of stuff. Great. That's great. Now, just when they're confident they just about got it, now it's time to come forth and say, now we're going to do what we want to do. You see? When everything is against us, that's when we win. Hello? What do you think we were prepared for? Why have we come to this hour but to conquer the world with the gospel? I don't care what the church has done for 2,000 years. Good and bad. Forget it. Somebody says, well, there's a lot of good. Okay, good. But the old wine is good, but the new wine is better. So we need new wine and new wineskins. Hello? It's the old, old gospel, but it's new wine. It's fresh every morning. We got to start all over again. Got to go back over the old territory and reclaim it. Redig the old wells. Throw the dirt out. Hello? You think we can do it? We might even convert the Pope. I know a lot of people think he's a great guy. That's a monstrous system. You show me one place in the world where they've done good. It's monstrous. Hello? The system. It's a political system. It's a religious and financial institution. You know, it's not a religious place. There are many Catholics inside that hate it too. They don't know what to do about it. We got the goods. You see? God is doing a new thing. The old wineskins won't work, even if they have some good in them. They're not good enough. God's pouring in new wine into His church. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's time just to conquer the world. Governments will be with us. Governments will oppose us. Business will go with us. Business will go somewhere else. The indigenous church will work. The indigenous church won't work. It doesn't make any difference. We'll win because we've already won in Jesus Christ. I'm challenging you today to believe that the vision that Jesus gave, the Great Commission, has not been finished, and that there's not time to wait for computers or for, you know, something new to happen. Let's go now. We got it. We got all we need. We can do it in the next few years. I mean, it can't be done. Of course it can be done. Anything can be done. Elijah was able, in an instant, to turn things around. God likes to do things fast. As I told you before, if Alexander took 10 years to conquer the world, we ought to do it in 5. Otherwise, we'd make God look bad. Right? Hey, it's nothing. It's nothing. But it takes believers. Unless you believe, unless you know that God has prepared it, you're just being presumptuous and foolish. But if you believe that God has given you the nations, and if you pray and bring them in through prayer, clean your own life up, defeat the devil, conquer the spiritual hosts, then when you act, your acting will be powerful. You will accomplish 100 things when you're only after 2. I tell you, there is a fear that's going throughout the land. Because, you know, everywhere I can divide Christians very easily. The only church that was really alive in South Africa was the Rhema churches, the faith churches. Because they really, you know, what's good about them? They may have some imbalances, but what's good about them is they believe God can do anything. And that's why God's going to bless them. It's not because they got all their theology perfect. It's because they believe God is good. And they believe that there's nothing too good for God to do with His people. And that's why we're going to work with those churches. It isn't the theological stuff. It isn't the structural things. I think they're messed up there a little bit. Doesn't matter. But they love God, and they're just so open to the things that God might do. Too many Christians are morbid and long-faced. You know, they're just barely hoping to get through. I want to be with the people that believe in a living God, just like it was in the days of the Bible. You know, those people believe that jail doors would open up. They believe that earthquakes would happen. They believe that famines would stop. They believe storms would cease. They believed that God had angels that would intervene. They believed in the miraculous intervention of God every step along the way. That's the kind of believer I am. I believe like that. I've seen God. I've known God. I see it in the Bible. I've seen it in people's lives. That's the only God there is. That's the hope of this world. I tell you, God has wondrous things in store. God has called us. He has called us to rule and to reign and to occupy until He comes. We haven't even taken it yet. How can we occupy? Let's take the world, and then we'll occupy it. So half of you get ready for warfare. The other half prepare the banquet for afterward, you know, and we'll get balloons and ice cream and stuff because we're going to occupy this world until Jesus comes back to take it. Now, how many want to do warfare? Frontliners. Oh, that's good. How many are ready to set up the balloons and the tables? We need some table decorators. Amen. You know, it's no good to fight a war and expend all your energy on fighting the war and if you're not ready to take over the world after you're done. We got to have some people that are already, those things that roll out and put those hats on. We got to have people making hats because we're confident that we're going to win. You know, we don't need a bunch of soldiers to take it. The communists only use 6 people when they take a country. If they can educate 6 people in Moscow or, Lumumba University or someplace, they can take the country. That's how they take. They've taken 40 countries since 1940. How many have we won back? 0. So we're going to start with Mozambique. You know, the communists, they don't got anything. We got it. Hello. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we've dug wells of striving. We've dug wells of enmity, hatred. But we're digging another well. And a room is being made for us. A place has been set for us, not only in heaven, but also on the earth. You're making room for your people to expand and to grow and to become mighty. Because people can see that the favor of God is with us and the presence of God is with us. And the words of God are in our mouth and the works of God are in our hands. Oh, I thank you, Lord God, that we are people who believe, a people who pray, and a people who do. A people who are fearless, bold, and afraid of nothing. Because we're in love. Because we're in love. Because we're in love with you and with your word and with your people and with the lost and with those that hate us. We're lovers, and love conquers all. Oh, I thank you, Lord God, that faith is the victory that overcometh the world. And we're going to dig another well, the well of Beersheba, the well of the oath. We're going to make a blood covenant with the peoples of this world, more than a covenant of economy and aid and assistance. We're going to make a blood covenant and establish those people one by one into Jesus Christ, the foundation, to make of the nations a kingdom of priests and kings, to bring forth by our words new birth, to bring forth by the gospel that we speak and we live a new kingdom, a kingdom made out of every nation, tongue, and tribe in these last days, in these next few years. Lord God, we don't know if the earth is going to exist for another 1,000 years or 2,000 years or 5,000 years or 1,000,000 years. But our belief and our faith is that it's not. We believe that you're coming soon. But regardless, Lord, whether it's long or short, we're going to work as though it was next year or the year after. We believe, Lord God, that the time is short, the days are evil, and we must make the most of the time, and we will. And so we're dedicated to you. We're devoted to you. And we pledge ourselves as a people to believe and to pray and to do, to work hard, to save, to prepare ourselves, to make ourselves a people prepared, ready, not for hard times, but for glorious times. And we will occupy this world until you come. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Some of you have come with needs. If you have a need, just raise your hand. If anyone has a need, there's one in the back. I want those around just to put your hands on them. Just physically touch them. Put your hands on them. Here's another brother here. Another one here. If you have any need whatsoever, a pain in your body, finances, wisdom, anything that you require. Because God answers the prayers of His people. And I believe God is here this morning to deliver and to set free and to bring forth boldness. If you have enough boldness, say, I don't think I have as much as you've got, Pastor. Don't let me get ahead of you. Get boldness. It's all in the Word. Say, I want people to pray for me to have boldness. Just raise your hand. Amen. Good. Praise God. Those around there, just begin to pray for them. Just reach out. Someone touch them. There's some more that had their hands raised. Back there. Yes. Hallelujah. We need an army. An army of the living God. We need some well diggers. We need some people that are persistent. Just begin praying right now in English or in tongues. Any way the Lord leads you. Kurima soli atana kaya sandrake. I janama kosoli atana makaya sandrake. Anda kaya si. U janama kosokriya sanda. Hutanama kokoria. Hulia tana makaya sandre. Ichimo koso. He tanama kosulia triki. Ubrana sa. Ubrana na kasilia. O janana sope anda kosulia. I brana kosokriya anda. Anda kaya. Anda kaya. Anda kaya satanama ko. Blessed Jesus, we thank you for these that are your children. These that are the children of Abraham. These who have made a covenant, a blood covenant. We have made a covenant at the well of the oath. We have established forever a relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even the Lord God Himself. We have become children of the living God. We have filled ourselves with power, with life, with hope, with joy, with power, with peace, so that we might go forth into all the earth declaring that God is with us. He's not only in the heavens, but the heavens are in us. The heavens have come to earth in us. And we are spreading heaven throughout the earth until the whole world is filled with the glory of God. Oh, I thank you, Lord God, that we're stirring up. We're marshaling the forces of evil. We're calling together the forces of darkness for an end-time battle. We're ready to do business with the enemy. We're not afraid of him. We know that he has nothing, that he's entirely a bluff. Oh, we thank you, Lord God, that you are healing our bodies, filling up our coffers, causing us to eat well so that we're healthy and wealthy and wise and happy and holy and able to take forth this gospel out of Fort Worth, out of our city, into our nation, into Mexico, Central America, Caribbean, South America, into Asia, India, China, Japan, Singapore, Australia, Indonesia, into Africa, into all the nations of Africa. Oh, Lord God, we have a world to conquer. Russia, Europe, England, Greenland, Newfoundland, all the little countries and big countries put together out of every nation, out of every tongue, and out of every tribe. We will gather together with those that belong to the Lord our God. And we will declare the name of the God victoriously. And every nation will know that there is a God, that He is a great God, and that the people of God are one, whether they're black or white or yellow or green or whatever they are. Oh, I thank you, Lord God, that we are a people that are green. We're ready, we're alive, we're full of life, full of the Holy Ghost, and ready to gain glory for you, ready to be used as vessels of your goodness and your greatness. We go home now in peace, we go home now healed, we go home now strengthened, we go home now as lovers. And I thank you, Lord God, that there's love among us. You've baptized us today in love. Even as you've filled us with your truth. And you've caused us to be filled with power. So as we go forth and we lay our hands on the sick, they will recover. As the dead are dead, we will raise them up by the power of God. Oh, I thank you, Lord God, that nothing is too great for you. That you are displaying yourself once again as a mighty God. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. And He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. And finally, we love you so. We love you so. We love you so. You're so. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, His peace, that peace which passes all understanding. And the peace of God which fills your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus will keep you until that day and perfect that which He has begun. Depart now in His peace, in His power, in His presence. Amen and amen. Amen.